Providence Journal made the headline was me, the blogger, and not the son of the majority whip in the House of Representatives, which, you know, I'm happy to know I weight more highly than that in the news media's estimation.
Sure.
But if it's a statewide story, that's what it would be, and I think. So, yeah, they called me just for, you know, clarification, some points, and get comment, and actually asked me, well, what's your title? Are you a blogger? And I said, no, actually, I'm a research director for the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity. And in doing that, I do spend a lot of time reading legislation,
yes,
including the Code of Ethics. So it's not like I'm just, you know, spitballing here. This is an area I spend a lot of time looking into. But it came out that I'm a blogger, which is, you know, I guess fun. It's fine, and it's fun to bust on them for it. And in some ways, being a blogger is a lot like being a journalist these days. So I guess they shouldn't put too much of a downward sneer on bloggers.
Do you want to start off, just since we're on the topic, do you want to just bring people the backstory on exactly what you filed and why?
Well, yeah, the John Edwards V, son of John Edwards IV, who is the representative from this area of Tiverton in the House of Representatives in the General Assembly. He is a board member of the Newport Chamber County Chamber of Commerce, and he voted in the last budget cycle the town council is going to take money that goes to the Chamber of Commerce out of their budget, and he persuaded them to put it back in, which is a clear and obvious violation of the Code of Ethics, given that he's on a board of that organization. So I filed an ethics complaint. I didn't promote the story. The Providence Journal called me when they saw that the Ethics Commission was talking about it. But just to make sure that the rules are clear, because I have a sense that those of us on the right are correct on the issues, and if it's a fair fight, in the long run, we'll win. So whenever I can help to correct the behavior of the Democrats and mainly Democrats and folks on the left, I like to try to do that. So I filed the complaint to get the Ethics Commission at least to say, yes, you violated it, even if you get the slap on the wrist, because it is a small dollar amount. And it turns out, I guess, that our solicitor told him, hey, that's fine, go ahead. So in that case, yeah, a slap on the wrist would be fine, but at least the message has been sent that this is a violation of ethics. You can't be on the board of an organization and then vote for your government body to give that organization money. It's just not right.
Justin, I want to move on to the story that, to me, there are a lot of politics involved here, and that is, look at this, it takes a judge or issues an order barring the work teachers from the sick-outs / strikes. This has a long-running dispute. I spoke with Mayor Avedisian last week, and it is interesting. He said that, obviously, this has been very bitter back and forth. It was kind of put on hold because when they got the bill passed for Evergreen, which really also shows the power that the teachers union has in Warwick, that they were able to get a Warwick rep to go up and get this legislation in Evergreen contract, so the contract never ends. They did get it passed in the Senate. They did get it passed in the House, and then it took Governor Raimondo to veto it. And you had a situation where you had different experts that came to the school, and they were trying to work with the teachers. This was leading up to the first days of school, and then the union blocked them from doing that. And now we've had these series of sick outs. It was one thing, it affected Pilgrim High School, and then it affected Vets Junior High. The schools today, these are very young children. It's one thing I was mentioning earlier, you know, you're going to leave a, I don't know, 16, 17-year-old junior, senior, sophomore in high school home alone. That's one thing. You can't leave a second or third grader. That really throws everything off. You have them in court, and the teachers' union head is saying, well, we didn't vote on these. I didn't know anything about it. It's cold and flu season, and I learned about the sick out from the news. I'd love to get your reaction on this whole thing.
Well, first of all, I think the General Assembly ought to come back into session and appropriate some money to investigate this strange illness that affects a large number of only teachers,
yeah,
only one school at a time, and only for a day. It's a weird illness, and it might be catchy. Of course, I think it's probably just unionization that is the illness causing this. I'm thinking, you know, I'm not from Warwick, so I don't know what the tone is on the ground there. but they're really starting to push it. I mean, when you have a judge, you know, essentially exploding their fiction and saying this is a sick out, okay, get back to work.
Yeah.
And the union still persisting and oh, they could be sick, who knows? That starts to offend people's sense of propriety. I mean, these are teachers. You don't expect them to be playing coy with a judge about whether they're really sick. And not only that, but as you mentioned, they've now moved from high school to junior high school and to elementary school, and
yeah.
They're not even picking, say, the wealthiest elementary school
no.
where people who are in a pinch could probably have lavish, not lavish, but have very good benefits that could take a day off, or they have money to get somebody to take care of the kid. Oakland Beach Elementary School, I looked at the numbers this morning. In Warwick, the average overall in Warwick, 37% of students are eligible for free or reduced lunch, which is a standard economic measure of students when you look at schools. At Oakland Beach Elementary, it's 54% of more than half of the students are eligible for free or reduced lunch. So these aren't families that have a lot of slack in their household budgets to take a day off or hire somebody or often they won't have somebody lined up that they count on school to be able to know where their child is for a full day reliably. And so they're really starting to push it. And I hope more people, there's been a lot of interest in the local news media, people who pay attention to this kind of thing. I'm hoping it's starting to get some attention from just the average workaday Rhode Islander, because the teachers are really at this point starting to hurt children and families. I mean, I think of families like mine. We've got four kids raising
yep.
from pre-K to high school. And if the union's actions went in the right direction, we could now be looking at four separate days where all of a sudden, with no warning, we have to find something to do with one of our children. And so a family like mine, without resources, you're talking about almost a full week of work potentially they're having to miss because the teachers aren't happy with a top pay of $76,000 plus bonuses and benefits for a 180-day work year. At some point, people have to kind of wake up to that and say, you know what, I've never gone to a store and it said closed due to sick out. You know, that just isn't tolerated in a private sector organization. It's only because the school districts can take your money, whether you have children in school or not, whether you're a parent or not, and stay in operation. And they can take as much as they want, and the courts will back them up on that. So I think they're really starting to push it here.
I agree with you, Justin, and push it is a good word. So the people that send their children to Oakland Beach Elementary School, this is the union saying, we are so upset, and even though they're supposed to be having a meeting coming up this week, we're going to really inconvenience your life. Your kids are going to miss a day of school. We're going to use you and take it out on you to get back at that superintendent and the school committee. I just don't recall the last time I've seen these types of hardball tactics as far as with the teachers involved. I mean, you saw them. It was about 2 years ago with the Providence firefighters when one of them, they threatened to burn down Alors' home, and they were really going after him when he went to the 3-platoon system out of the 4-platoon system. But as far as the schools, the fact that the judge, as you say, did not buy what they said, and on top of that, Justin, as we both know, last week after this, quote, cold and flu season swept through and it wasn't voted on and people are stressed out. One of the reasons they're saying they're calling in sick is they're so stressed over the no contract. The next day, these, quote, sick teachers, they were on picket lines the next morning as the students were arriving at the school and the parents were dropping them off or they were arriving by bus.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. I mean, it's an obvious pretense. And it brings to the fore a lot of things that – if I were advising a labor union, I wouldn't necessarily want. And how much conversation has there been about this 90 days of sick time that they
get?
I mean, that's been a big topic of conversation. And so as you're hitting these families who suddenly have to find some kind of care for their 5 or 6 year old child, all with no notice, but you're hitting them with this, and they're learning that you get 90 days of sick time, and you know, in closing the schools, you don't even have to pay for the substitutes because the school is completely closed. That kind of thing, I think starts to change people's minds and get them to really look at what are you people actually making and what is it you're complaining about for real? I mean, one of the interesting things in the Providence Journal article on the judge's ruling today. There's the head of the PTO, I don't have her name in front of me, but she's saying, I completely support this. It turns out that her child is special needs, which you see a lot in local districts. Are the parents of special needs are often very sympathetic to the union causes, very supportive of the schools in general, of course, but very quick to push back on anybody trying to restrain any kind of spending or reforms in the schools. And you can understand why. I mean, their children receive a high degree of services. So, but the average parent who's looking at this thinking, you know, I could homeschool and save all this aggravation, or if I could afford private school, they don't do this in private school because the families will leave because they're paying and they have,
right.
no, they have a choice.
Yes.
So yeah, it's just that one of those things. I tend to think they're overplaying their hand, and what they're doing here is, and we've discussed this before, is I almost wish it were mandatory for parents at some point in their children's school careers to attend a school committee meeting during a labor dispute, because to watch the teachers behave with such a sense of like they deserve raises, and to not give them raises is an affront to their dignity, and just the behavior you see at a lot of these meetings, and not just the labor hacks who are shipped in from around the New England, but also the teachers themselves. This kind of brings that out into the public view of you're shutting down schools one a week, including young poor children, over a labor dispute. You know, you're working without a contract, which means basically you're still working. You're not. It's not like you're doing this for charity.
No.
It's got to be eye opening for a lot of people. Whether it's enough, who knows? Most people, once it's resolved, they'll say, "Ooh, at least that's over, and I can get back to the business of my life."
But you know what's interesting about this, Justin, and folks? Again, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, when this is somehow resolved, I mean, it's so over the top with the collective bargaining and what they're demanding. And when we spoke with Mayor Avedisian, he said that basically it reached a point where the school committee just said there's no point continuing to talk with the head of the union and this union, because they're just unrealistic and they're in no way bending, and their demands of the way I understand it, the work teachers, they feel and they're demanding they should be the highest paid teachers in the state. I saw on Work Watch, they ranked 25th in the state as far as performance. If they were to be given the contract they want, it would put them within the top 2% of highest paid public school teachers, Justin, in the entire country, not just in Rhode Island. It does make you step back and say, you know, based on what criteria do you feel that you're, as you said, entitled to this, other than it's about the kids and everything else. You know, I think this is, and I don't know this particular head or who's driving this, but they are so, like, in left field as to what reality is compared to what they're demanding. And the other point I wanted to make about this is I think the other danger here, and Mayor Avedisian alluded to this when I spoke with him last week, is when this is resolved, how are they going to react should they not like the contract that then ultimately the arbitrator or how this comes down and is settled? You're going to have just more anarchy with this. This, I just don't see this, I don't, as it's going so far as, you know, no harm, no foul. They have filed 50 grievances. Now you have the sick outs. They tried to have state law passed. This goes above and beyond. There's a couple of points we got to work out. This, I follow this pretty closely the way you do. I just don't recall such strong arm tactics as far as teachers involved with the school system.
Right, and the one of the you mentioned they ought to face reality, and that's not just their test scores and everything. That's an enrollment dropping by huge numbers, and
yeah.
That budget crunch is what starts to make these things, the friction increase. I did a study a few years ago based on SAT demographics, and Rhode Island is very high for parents who opt to use lower cost private schools, mainly Catholic and parochial schools, because they tend to be lower cost. And one reason you could hypothesize for that is that parents watch this stuff and say, look, it's worth skipping the vacation for 12 years and putting my child in a relatively low cost private school just to get out of this system. So you've got parents moving away, or they can't, that part of it's because they can't find work, but part of it's because there's no draw for the schools. They aren't performing very well and they're expensive, and you could have to suddenly find daycare for your children with no notice. So over time, this is what you see. And if you're looking at a private business trying to resolve what looks like a downward spiral of its business, you're going to get a whole different attitude. You're going to get workers coming to the table to say, well, what can we do to help build up this company again so that the customers start turning the other way and we stop this outflow? Because people still need education. They just don't necessarily want it in Rhode Island or from Warwick or other public schools.
I think it also gives you some insight, Justin, as when you are negotiating with someone, credibility is obviously, you know, the most important thing. The person you're sitting across the table with, you have to believe that they're there in good faith. They're promising things in good faith. They're agreeing to things in good faith. And they have to bring level of credibility to the table. If it is a company and they're saying, you know, it's just coming from headquarters or it's whatever and there's cutbacks and all this other stuff. If you find out, in fact, that's not the case, it hurts the cause negotiating. When you have the head of the teachers union denying any knowledge about these sick outs and then saying it's cold and flu season, it starts to give you, to me, some insight as to what it must be like to try to negotiate with these people. Because apparently, according to the school committee and the superintendent, they're not only unrealistic. Again, if this, how much credibility does the head of this union have if a judge has to say, I don't believe that these are legitimate, you know, teachers that are sick? This is an organized sick out. You're showing your power, moving it around to different schools, so it's not the same one. It also, Justin, it becomes the thing of, like, everybody united, Pilgrim's going to do it, then Vets is going to do it, now these schools. It puts the pressure on the other schools, like, come on, now it's your turn to stand up for your, quote, union brothers and sisters. But to me, this really shows what they must be dealing with when they're trying to sit across the table from this person and come up with something that is fair, because
go
ahead.
The other side of that coin, the credibility coin, is imagine the union president, this Darlene Necco, is telling the truth, and this is all happening. She has no awareness of it. She has no input into it. Well, why am I negotiating with you?
That's right. That's exactly
If you don't have any kind of influence with my employees, why are you the one at the table? You have to convince me that you can stop this as the union head before it's worth it to me to take give you concessions and your contract negotiations. So either way, it's not a good play from a negotiation standpoint.
You know what's also interesting, and again, folks, it's John DePietro. We're speaking with managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com, Justin Katz. Justin, and let's face it, I'm not trying to be mean, and yes, you know, disclosure, I'm an alum, but the school that stands out the most in Warwick happens to be that of Bishop Hendricken. It is. They win the football titles. They win the baseball titles. They win the basketball titles. They have kids that go to Ivy League schools, go to Notre Dame. They won the academic decathlon. And you don't, you know, that's obviously a private-run Catholic school. They don't have union problems. They don't have these types of demands. I am sure that the Warwick teachers at Pilgrim and Vets make more than the Hendricken teachers and have better benefits and everything else. To me, that is just one of those things. If you would look inside the city of Warwick, what's really the school that is over-delivering, that is getting kids into Notre Dame, Brown University, Harvard, Princeton? They had that player that's now playing for Michigan football, you know, going on, playing professional baseball. The school in Warwick that truly sets the bar is not the Warwick-run public school. It's the private Catholic school down the street.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's at the top of the line. If you look at schools that are struggling, my wife for a while worked at All Saints Academy in Middletown over there, and they were having trouble with enrollment due to, you know, changes in military bases and that kind of thing. And the teachers got together and really work hard. And believe me, the public school teachers make multiples of a lot of the private school teachers. But they all got together because they realized that their school was in danger of closing.
Yep.
So they got together. They would not only concessions, so to speak, on salaries and stuff, but extra work to try to go above and beyond and provide students with something that was really worth paying for. And that's the dynamic you get in a private sector where people don't have to fund it because it's government, it's the law, and the tax man can just take your money and give it to the schools. And that's something that people really ought to consider for longer term. Reforms, because this is just going to get worse and worse as our population changes,
yep.
and the insiders in Rhode Island have to fight for a shrinking pie for all their outrageous pay and benefits.
We're going to ask Justin to hold on for just a moment, folks. It's John DePietro. We're going to come back, speak with Justin Katz, managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com. There's two big stories coming up we're going to talk about. Number one is Governor Raimondo article about her in the Boston Globe, and also very interesting comments. Joe Paolino is now the National Democrat committee chairman, but I found Senator Josh Miller, his comments as to, quote, what constitutes being a Democrat. Very, very eye-opening. I want to remind you, the heating season is here. Let JKL Engineering design and install a natural gas, high-efficiency carrier Infinity system. They're energy efficient, they're quiet, they're more affordable than you think. No gas, no problem. Let JKL Engineering design and install a high-efficiency Infinity heat pump system, including ductless splits, heats in the winter, cools in the summer. These units are so efficient, it can reduce your oil bill by as much as 90%. They have the highest rebates in the market. They also do new installation and replacements of high-efficiency gas boilers. JKL is a Carrier factory authorized dealer licensed in Rhode Island and Massachusetts. You know, for over 50 years, JKL's reputation is second to none, especially for technical expertise and customer satisfaction. JKL, an approved National Grid VPI installer. JKL is also a Navient-certified factory dealer. Call JKL today for a system replacement from oil to gas for a heat pump. Estimates are free, and financing is available for both residential and commercial. Call JKL at 351-7600. Call JKL Engineering today. Free estimate. Financing is available. JKL 351-7600 or online at jklengineering.com. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. We're going to be right back. Justin Katz, managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com, straight ahead on the John DePietro Show.
Arrest the Pest. Serve and protect area homes, families, and businesses. Arrest the Pest has been providing the fix since 1986. No matter the pest, it ends in arrest. Arrest the Pest today. Call 738-3766. Pests, you detest them, and we arrest them. Hey, who loves your baby? ArrestThePest.com. 738-3766.
It's got all the breaking news, especially when I'm driving into work and I need to know quickly.
WADK is your station for hometown information. Live and local weekdays from sunup to sundown. Start your day with the morning report till 9.
What's the traffic situation? What's the weather going to be?
Bruce Newbery and Talk of the Town 9 till noon. At noon, it's the open forum. Then John DePietro is live weekday afternoons from 1 to 5. Pinpoint coverage from AccuWeather meteorologists and hourly news from ABC. Live and local, right here on AM 1540, WADK.
Hey, I want to remind you, Mega Disposal. Call them today, 866-420-MEGA. 866-420-6342. Mega Disposal. They are, in fact, a local, family-owned and operated trash and recycling collection company. They service Rhode Island and Massachusetts. It's Mega Disposal. You own a small business? Call Mega. They've been serving Rhode Island and Mass for almost 2 decades. They have various sizes for estate cleanouts, major construction jobs, entire households. How about a swing door? Provide easy loading of materials. Mega, M-E-G-A. Smaller containers, local businesses, shops, emptied on a weekly, every other week, or monthly basis. If you own a small business, call Mega. For your trash and recycling collection services, call Mega Disposal today, 866-420-MEGA, 866-420-6342. You know, you see their trucks and staff collecting your household trash or recycling items from any curbside. in many local communities like Barrington, West Warwick, East Greenwich, North Providence, Pawtucket, Mega has dumpster service for small household construction projects or garage and basement cleanouts. Maybe need 10 cubic yards for small yard cleaning or 15 for most garage or basement cleanups. Various sizes for estate cleanouts. Call Mega Disposal today. Let's get a dumpster in the driveway. 866-420-MEGA. Clean out your home. Throw out some of that junk. Mega Disposal. 866-420-MEGA. 866-420-6342.
Making afternoon radio great again. John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
All right, and we're back on this Monday with us, Justin Katz, Managing Editor, OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, I want to draw your attention, actually everyone's attention. I think it was interesting. Joe Paolino, he was, in fact, elected to National Committee Chairman for the Democrat Party, and all of that is fine. But I found the comments by Senator Josh Miller very briefly. He's a big-time progressive, and he threw his name into the ring, and then in the end he – whatever. It was kind of seemingly resolved behind the scenes, and he decided not to run. But what I found interesting was in challenging Democrat National Committee Chairman now, Paolino, Miller said, and there's the quote, what it means to be a Democrat in Rhode Island. And here's what he said. Democrat means people before money. People before money's interests. Fighting for workers rather than big business. And here's where they start everything. They throw a pro in front of the word. Being a Democrat in Rhode Island means you have to be pro-choice, pro-labor. You have to be pro-minimum wage, which means they want it to be $15. Pro-gun control. I love this one. Expanding voting rights. That's a shot at Ken Block. Instead of limiting voting rights. Access to health care, access to mental health care. It's a long list. This is what it means to be a Democrat in Rhode Island, according to Senator Josh Miller, who, again, very powerful voice up at the State House and then also was challenging Joe Paolino for Democrat National Committee. What's your reaction to his version of what it means to be, quote, a Democrat in Rhode Island?
Well, it's not surprising, and the most telling part is at the end where he says it's a long list, and it is a long list. And what it shows is if he can't narrow it down to some core principles, then you're really just it's a litmus test. It's not actually things you believe, and that's the problem. I think a lot of the more moderate Democrats are facing in Rhode Island is the progressives are coming forward with this litmus test. You have to be able to check each of these boxes in order to count as a good Democrat. And if you look at, say, the progressive Democrat crowd, they're constantly calling Speaker Mattiello like a right-wing extremist. I mean, so that's their measuring stick. And what's disturbing and what makes it worrying that Paolino was kind of, you know, trying to seek to connect with that. I mean, Josh Miller in his statement when he removed himself from the race, the tagline was, you know, Main Street, not Wall Street. And Paolino is now using that, running around with that. And of course, it's pure spin because progressives seek an alliance between the very rich and the people who need government services. But that's their pitch. And the more moderate Democrats in Rhode Island don't quite know how to deal with it. Although the article in the Providence Journal today, the political scene, I think, does contain an interesting little tell where there was, I guess he's a deputy with the party in some regard.
Joe DiLorenzo. Yeah.
Yeah, Joe DiLorenzo. And he said, you know, where the progressives are taking us is frightening, and we need to get away from that. He said, you know, they're making us, attacking Christopher Columbus and making us the National Football League I think that's the appropriate attitude that more of the moderate Democrats ought to have, because once the progressives have insinuated themselves and started to really implement their laundry list, they're not very popular once they're put out there, like, say, gun control. And even more importantly, they're not very effective. I came across this weekend a study in New Geography that Rhode Island is fourth worst among 53 metropolitan areas for the gap between for homeowner affordability for Hispanics. So that's a Main Street issue. But it's progressive policies, the zoning regulations, telling everybody what they can do for housing, telling everybody what they can do for work, so keeping our salaries down. That's where it really manifests and the rubber hits the road. And so it's very dangerous, I think, for Democrats to if they don't find a solution to this progressive insinuation. Also in that article was the, I think it was the same guy said, he talks to people who say, the only reason I'm a Democrat now is because of the job. And
yeah.
I guess the reporter kind of inferred that he meant like a patronage job.
Exactly, and yes.
Somebody's been bought off. If I didn't have a job because I'm a Democrat, I would not be a Democrat, which makes you wonder if somewhere brewing in all this and in one possible version of the future is some kind of seismic shift where the moderate types in the General Assembly or in Rhode Island politics say, you know what, we're just switching parties because we can't fight within the party with this group anymore. We can't take them on in the primaries. So we need to pick up troops on the other end of the political spectrum. That would be very interesting. I tend to doubt it. People don't think creatively like that. They'll probably try to hold on until it's too late and the progressive virus is fully set into the body politic of the Democrats in Rhode Island.
DiLorenzo is a very well-connected Democrat. He's been in the system. He's just one of those individuals. He knows a lot of people. For him to go on record and say, I'm hearing this, as you said, I'm hearing this everywhere. If I didn't have a job, I'd abandon the Democrat Party. But then he finishes it by saying, I hear this everywhere, these left-wing whack jobs. Now, that's not coming from Patricia Morgan. That's not coming from Trillo. That's not coming from Alan Funk. This is DiLorenzo is the former state rep, and he happens to be the party's vice chair. He's referring to Miller and Tansy and Ruggenberg as basically left-wing whack jobs. This isn't off the record somewhere. He's telling that to a reporter for the Journal.
Yeah, for the Providence Journal, yeah. And it's more a statement of fact, I would say, than an opinion. So
yes.
Maybe there's a dam break coming where sort of like Harvey Weinberg, everybody's allowed to talk about him now in Hollywood. Maybe there's an opinion dam about to break in the Rhode Island Democrats. We can hope for it, I guess.
You know what's interesting? And again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com. Just to come back to Miller's comments of Democrat in Rhode Island, you know, so many people, Justin, that, quote, were Democrats in Rhode Island, they were the type of – they were initially, you know, a JFK Democrat. And then you had the kind that was considered, you know, like the Joe Garrahy Democrat. And then you – in some ways, in the 90s, obviously, they lost the governorship, but there was, I mean, now Bruce Sundland seemingly would not be welcomed in the Democrat Party. But if you follow Josh Miller, that means this business of let's what it looks like. If you're a Democrat in Rhode Island, here's the checklist. You can't be pro-life or you're not welcome. You can't be, they say, fighting for workers rather than big business. This goes to anyone that employs more than 20 people that doesn't want to have these paid sick day leaves. That's what they consider fighting for the worker instead of big business. Being pro-labor, which means, of course, you're 100% behind this teachers union in Warwick, as opposed to feeling on the side of the taxpayer. And then they call it pro-minimum wage, which is they feel, hey, we should have a $15 minimum wage in Rhode Island. I feel that... And I agree with you. There's a real opening here for people to kind of pick off people, because I think most people that do vote Democrat are not on board with this list in any way. There's no way. If anything, you know, some high-profile Democrats, you had Bob Wagon at one time, Congressman Wagon, he was pro-life. Congressman Langevin for a very long time was pro-life. Marguerite Garrahy, who was the governor's Governor Garrahy has passed away, but very, very active with the pro-life movement. Basically, the progressives are saying you're not welcomed in the party unless you, as you say, pass this litmus test. And I just wonder how far they're going to take this.
Oh, that is the question, and it's a pretty deep well that they can dig if they want to. I I noticed right after the president's election last year, there was the rally, the resistance rallies in Providence at the State House, and Mike Arujo is a big progressive labor guy in the labor progressive movement in Rhode Island, was up there shouting about how it's white supremacy to move to the suburbs and send your kids to a good school.
And he's
mainstream. He's on, you know, on all the talk shows, Channel 10. I think he was even on Face, whatever that one is, that nobody watches. What is it?
Lively Experiment?
I think you've done it.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, that's what it is. But he was on there, so he's kind of a mainstream figure. But that's how slippery this slope is. I wonder if a lot of the more moderate Democrats who have kind of gone back to their, you know, small businesses and the Newport Chamber and all the other chambers of commerce, and they see that as a constituency. They see something like paid sick time, where the big debate is whether it's going to kill any company above 15 employees or above 18 employees. And people are going to start to wonder, well, if you're representing my interests, how does this fit into that? And if this is what you have to give away as to buy the progressives into your fold, because that's a lot of how Rhode Island politics has worked, especially in the legislative angle, is you get a little something, you know, and it works across the board. So if you're the Catholic schools, for example, to put our subjects together here, okay, we'll give you a $1.5 million tax credit scholarship thing for your school choice thing. So there's your little thing, and you don't want to lose that. So now you're bought in a little bit, and there's only so far you can go opposing us. And so if the progressives are getting at this point paid time off as a mandate, that's starting to escalate, where the balance with the other special interests is going to start to fall apart. So that could create a real interesting dynamic, especially because if you look at the Mike Arujos or the RI Future crowd, they don't have much capacity for compromise.
No.
They can't really wait for their moment. They kind of want it all.
Yes.
They want it now. There's no compromise. There's no, if you're compromising, it's a deal with the devil, by
That's
definition,
right.
from their perspective.
Yeah.
And so they don't have a lot of self-control, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And so at some point, there's going to be a pushback. And we've always looked at it as the Republicans, conservatives leaving the state and worrying that that created a spiral, because you're losing the very people who have the better ideas for how to save the state, because
yep.
they're just leaving.
Yeah.
And I think probably on a Democrat side, the moderate Democrat side, there are just too many of those people for them all to leave before it hits critical mass. So maybe this is where you start to see the light coming through as everything falls around you. Maybe that's what we're starting to see now.
You know, one last thought on this, and then I want to ask you about the Globe story about Governor Raimondo. But if I'm Bobby Nardalillo, who right now, unless Flanders jumps in, is running against Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, I think DiLorenzo has laid out the type of platform and issues that you'd really like to make the race about, which is get Senator Sheldon Whitehouse on the record, because I haven't seen any comment from him about these players, NFL players kneeling, and get him on the record on Christopher Columbus, because he doesn't want to weigh in. You know, I think the way you can beat them is when you have a regular voter who suddenly hears Senator Sheldon Whitehouse saying, I support those players that kneel, and I agree we should not celebrate Columbus Day. I think that is not the way what the Democrats want to win or lose on. And I think if they want to continue to make these issues, these are not winning issues for them in any way.
Oh, yeah. Well, make them own it. Make them own the extremes. I mean, that's just basic politics. So
right.
Hopefully somebody picks up on that.
What's your again, Governor Raimondo was in the Boston Globe this morning. I think it's interesting. They picked up on her comments at Brown University. She's now tried to spin it into the evolving landscape, and the internet's changed everything and everything else. But this is the first kind of negative piece I've seen for the governor to say, you know, people aren't reading the newspaper as much. They said that's like making the observation that the sun rises in the east. But I'd love your thoughts on the Globe article on Governor Raimondo, because to me, this was the first time we've seen a negative. It is. It's not a flattering article about her. It shows that she's trying to control the press. It is pro-newspaper. It has some good quotes from some people that worked for the Journal. They focused it more on the newspaper angle than talk radio or the Janet going one-on-one with the governor. But what are your thoughts on the Globe article on Governor Raimondo?
Well, I liked a lot of the other comments, because we all kind of have to admit that a lot of what she said was true. I mean, the reporter for the Globe interviewed Carol Young, who was a retired deputy executive editor of the Providence Journal. And she said, you know, the paper is down to the movers and shakers. That's who's reading it right now, which I thought was funny because back when I started blogging, that was kind of who started reading Anchor Rising first.
Yep.
The movers and shakers who were really interested in all this stuff. So it's an interesting turnabout. But what I find the most telling part of it was the governor's statement that she didn't want to hurt their feelings because I'm with them every day, which is kind of condescending, but it made me think, you know, can't we all just be professionals in a grown-up world here?
Yeah.
I mean, I know I've been surprised sometimes at how thin-skinned some of the journalists are, and it's probably just because it's only relatively recently that they've had to face, immediate direct pushback from readers in a comment section or on social media. But they can be very sensitive. But the idea that she's going there. It's almost like a condescending, you know, well, I want to make you feel good about yourself, but you know, you're just not performing for me like you used to. I think that's an interesting tell. And it also shows how kind of in a bubble they all are, talking about this kind of thing. Just, you know, get back to work, get back to doing your job. And as
yes.
I said last week, what was it? Wendy Schiller from Brown yeah. University was in the article. And she said, this is the quote from Wendy Schiller. She says, the governor's basically saying, I'm really busy trying to get RI back on track, and I don't want to spend much time explaining myself in the media because of their failure to present both sides. But,
yep.
but which just is ludicrous with the idea that all the resources we're spending on PR, all these gimmicky events like the 1,000 days of Gina Raimondo, that's not what you're doing if you're saying, you know what, I just don't have time to deal with the PR angle of this. I'm just going to get back to the business of what I'm doing. That's actually the solution. That's not what she's been doing. It's what she should be doing.
That's right.
Journalists should keep on, you know, marching ahead and doing the real investigative work, because that's what will save. That's what rejuvenates their business model, is if they're actually finding the stuff that people want to have found. I think the news media tends to. It is, you know, the saying that they all love to quote is the, you know, never attack somebody who buys ink by the barrel. Mm. And that's why she's probably getting the not quite flattering coverage in the Globe, because it's journalists. You
exactly.
Know,
yes.
Sympathetic to the targets. And that's going to be a danger. But the cure is to get back, you know, actually get back to work and doing wise things and stop concentrating on this kind of inside who's hurting whose feelings. And just say, hey, look. What I said was true. A lot of you will admit it. I'm sorry if it hurts, but let's do things that people want to read about, and then then you'll get your readership, and we can all feel good about each other.
Yep.
But we're just not set up for those kind of dynamics anymore.
No, folks. He's managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Justin, excellent as always, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks a lot, John.
All right, folks. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show on this Monday. I want to remind you about our friends at Water Filter Company. It's Steve. It's Alice. It's your source of drinking water. Now, do you buy bottled water? Do you just drink your water out of the tap? Do you realize right now the Department of Health, Brown University, they're doing a study, contaminants in Rhode Island drinking water? Did you hear about that? Doesn't have to be that way. Not if you call Water Filter Company at 294-2400. 294-2400. You see their building right off of Route 4, Water Filter Company. Do what I did. Call and get a free consultation with Water Filter Company. Have a water filter installed right in your home. We spoke with Steve at Water Filter just the other day. Water Filter Company, so knowledgeable. Water filters installed in her home and now her children, they fill up their water bottles and bring that water to school. Steve, I know it's not news to you. People need to wake up. Bottled water, unregulated, and people have no idea what's coming out of that tap water.
Oh, we hear this on a daily basis. I mean, we've been inundated with calls this week of people finally wanting to take control of their own water supply, and it's really the only choice you have. It's a nutso world out there. The environment is going down the tubes. I mean, everything is the infrastructure for the distribution networks of city water is old, even though they're doing a heck of a job trying to maintain it. You know, and it just seems like people can't keep up with the degradation of what's happening in our world today. And the only way that you can come home and make sure that you've got perfectly clean water is to have a filtration system on your home, making sure that it goes through that filtration first before that water goes through you.
Folks, call right now. Wherever you are on this Monday, stop putting it off. Nothing more important than clean drinking water. Think Tom Brady, 25 glasses of water a day. You think he's drinking water with contaminants? Call Water Filter Company. If you can hear my voice, why do you think the Department of Health, Brown University, are doing a study on contaminants in Rhode Island drinking water? And as far as bottled water, it's expensive and it's unregulated. Call Water Filter Company, wherever you are. I'll bet the water coming out of your tap, you're like, sometimes it's a little off. Call Water Filter Company right now. Stephen Alice, so knowledgeable, a wonderful Rhode Island company since 1986. Call right now, 294-2400, 294-2400 for Water Filter Company.
Where do the locals go? Broadway. Where is there fantastic food and entertainment every night? Broadway. So go where the food's great, the drinks are flowing, and the music is playing. Broadway. You'll see old friends and make new ones.
Malt is a Newport favorite with a seasonal menu and friendly atmosphere. Over 30 beers on tap, a large selection of single malts, bourbons, and Irish whiskeys, plus a creative cocktail list. Open nightly for dinner and Sunday brunch.
Caleb and Broad offers dining and nightlife with creativity and simplicity. Step up from bar food and a step down from fine dining with a funky, fun vibe. Open every night for dinner plus Sunday brunch.
Shoeby's is your spot for fresh, locally sourced food featuring house-baked bread, daily specials, and hand-cut fries. Open Wednesday through Sunday for breakfast and lunch, Friday and Saturday for dinner. Shoeby's is BYOB.
The Fifth Element is trendy, hip, and always hopping 7 nights a week. The comfortable, stylish interior is the perfect spot for a night out with friends. And there's free parking. Check out the live jazz every Sunday brunch and Monday evenings.
Salvation Cafe is uniquely Newport with creative decor and a clever mashup of global fare, including great vegan choices and creative craft cocktails. Open 7 days. Great private dining space for parties.
See you in Newport tonight on Broadway.
Wake up with WADK's Morning Report. Bob Angel, Art Berluti, and Jacob Sullivan have your local news, sports, and traffic, along with the worldwide resources of ABC News and pinpoint forecasting from AccuWeather meteorologists. Start your day live and local weekday mornings till 9 with the Morning Report on 1540 WADK and WADK.com.
Sam's Inn. Everybody's raving about Sam's Inn. Delicious food. Sam's Inn, 2227 West Shore Road in Warwick. You can call them at 737-6073, Sam's Inn, daily lunch special, $6.95 at Sam's Inn. Remember, free salad bar with any entree. Sam Curry has done it again at Sam's Inn. You can call them at 737-6073. Check out their website, log on, samsinri.com, samsinri.com, Sam's Inn, where they have delicious Clams Casino, baked stuffed quahogs, Little Necks, also delicious Sam Burger or the Blue Burger at Sam's Inn. Try the pasta with meatballs or the ravioli with meatballs. Sam's Inn, you'll find great steaks. They have delicious seafood, whether it be the fried bait scallops, broiled swordfish, or the broiled sea scallops, maybe the linguine with clam sauce. They have a wonderful kids menu, delicious desserts, live entertainment in the lounge. It's Sam's Inn, and you can't beat daily lunch special, $6.95. Every meal, cooked to order. It's farm to table at Sam's Inn. Call them, 737-6073. Better yet, stop in, 2227 West Shore Road in Warwick.
He tells it like it is. He's John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
All right, and we're back on this Monday. Good afternoon, one and all. Here I am. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. How about Jimmy Kimmel saying he doesn't care if Republicans watch his show anymore? I'll play that for you. He also... he's going to broadcast from the Brooklyn Academy of Music, and, you know, he jokes about Matt Damon, but he doesn't say anything. Jimmy Kimmel, I'm just trying to see if he says anything about the fact about the whole Harvey Weinstein situation in Hollywood. I just want to, they all knew about it. They all covered it up. Let me hear, this is Jimmy Kimmel talking about the Harvey Weinstein situation.
What happened with Harvey Weinstein probably happens in every area of business. We're just more interested in it because human beings are kind of disgusting and we are attracted to the idea of sex, and especially when it comes to these beautiful actresses that we all feel like we know in some way or another. I don't know that it will change anything. I hope it does change something. I think it probably has changed his mindset a bit, and so that's something. As far as whether it will have a broad impact, I have no idea.
Changed his mindset? Is he referring to Harvey Weinstein? Now, first of all, there's a huge difference. It goes on in every industry. There's a huge difference between someone puts three movie contracts on the table and says, you could be up there receiving an Academy Award. Did you see Gwyneth Paltrow and Meryl Streep thanking me for helping them win the Academy Award? That could be you up there on the screen. These are three movie contracts in front of you. You just have to give me the massage as I'm going to disrobe. There is a world of difference between that and, you know, I don't know, pick a business. Someone in, I don't know, an insurance business hitting on the temp receptionist. And I'm not saying that that does not go on. But for Hollywood to say that, well, you know, this goes on everywhere, we shouldn't be singled out in this way. You're the people at the award shows. You're the people that were commending him, and Meryl Streep referred to him as a god. So there is a difference. And there's far more money at stake, and the whole element of that is that does not fly. For Jimmy Kimmel even to say what goes on or what was going on through his mind, or does anyone care if this is in any way going to change his mind? Harvey Weinstein, he is a complete predator dirtbag who is... Who would do business with someone like that again? This wasn't... This could easily be 100. It sounds as though he would do this to every actress that came anywhere near him. Not just, you know, the ones that have spoken out. And then it also leads to, I was reading a story that it certainly raises some questions as to those that did get starring roles who have not come forward. How did they... They somehow were not involved in some way? Raises a lot of questions. So when I recognize for Jimmy Kimmel and the rest of them, it's very uncomfortable out in Hollywood. But they knew. I think that's the worst part about it, is they knew. It wasn't even a secret in Hollywood. They knew, they joked about it, and it did not stop them from lecturing you about President Trump. You think of all the play that went on, the media coverage with that Access Hollywood tape. And yet, what does entertainment and Hollywood say now? Well, this we can't even joke about. We can't even mention because it's so serious. It certainly didn't stop them from the Access Hollywood material. I mean, they are just the biggest hypocrites and phonies. Folks, I want to remind you, this actually is, fall is the best time for landscaping your yard. That's why make sure you stop by and see our friends at PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, Quaker Lane in North Kingstown. It's Steve, it's Debbie, it's PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. They're located right next door to Allie's Tack Shop. They're open 7 days a week. They're open today till 5. Look for their magnificent outdoor display at PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. Everything is locally grown, homegrown. Remember, buy local. You can call them at 295-4399. It's Steve, it's Debbie, it's Junior, it's Byron. I have a great selection right now. Now is the time. Stop in, see our friends, PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. Fall is here, pumpkins, straw bales, corn stalks, located right across from Allie's Donuts, right next door to Allie's Tack Shop. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. More of your phone calls ahead, 846-10.